Isn't it great to be a Christian?
Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody said together, amen. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Well, it's a great honor and always a great privilege for us to be together as the body of Christ, to be together as brothers and sisters and have the opportunity of worshiping our God. Thanks to all of those who participated so far in our service today for helping to facilitate and make the service even better. We pray that as that has taken place, that that has encouraged your worship and lifted up your spirits. And most of all, we hope, of course, that it's pleasing to God. That's why we're here, is to praise our Heavenly Father. James, thank you for reminding me that it's been 10 years. If we make it through the lesson today, that'll make it 10. And we're grateful about that. Rosemary and I are humbled to be a part of the congregation here and have the opportunity to work together with you and the Lord. And we look forward to continuing that circumstance in the future here. Also, this next year, I believe I will have completed 49 years of preaching and beginning 50. And if the Lord will allow me another year, that'll make a half a century of preaching. I realize that depends on who you ask. Okay, because I do have some old recordings of some of those first ones, and I pray about those people that had to listen to those early on often when I remember them. Well, I hope your 2018 has been a good one. I hope there are good things about it that you remember, and I know that there's hardly a time or a year that goes by that there are not things that come along that may bring us sadness. In fact, I'll say to you this. There will be obstacles in the Christian life, and there will be doubts from time to time. There will be mistakes, but with God, there are no limits. God will lead us through no matter what we're doing. And he will encourage us. It's so good to see many of you that we get to see only at privileged times, just at like holiday times that you're here, or maybe on vacation times when you come in to see other folks and see your relatives. We're glad that many of you are here with us today. And we look forward to having those occasions together. Well, my lesson today is about the challenge of a new year. We're going to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, just a few verses that I hope will encourage us some and have some things to say that will help us to go forward this next year. I guess I'd start by saying, have you made any New Year's resolutions? I'm appreciative. We had an elder stand up today and sort of nudge you along. And I didn't pay him, by the way, or tell him or encourage him to say anything about that, because that I might be speaking in regard to that. But he was thinking about that. And maybe you've been thinking, about, the new year that is coming up. I suppose when you say, have you made a New Year's resolution, that brings mixed emotions from all of us, maybe, or maybe a mixed response. Nonetheless, I do believe that whether you make resolutions or not, that most of us feel
some sort of turning over a new leaf kind of thing, attitude, as the new year begins, because that's sort of been a tradition in our country, maybe in the world even, in many places, that, well, we're starting a new year, everything is fresh, and so we're just kind of thinking about that kind of thing. I hope that the lesson today from the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit to bring to us, I think, some things that are just good things. We'll go to that Philippians passage now, and let's read those three verses here, beginning in verse 12 through 14. I encourage you to read this whole chapter. It really is a continuation of a great theme and a lot of marvelous things, but we can't cover all of those things in there in our time allotted for today, and so I won't make that attempt. But these, maybe to encourage us in the new year ahead. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. You know that the book of Philippians is what's called a prison epistle. And so he's writing this while being imprisoned. And some of the versions will talk about his circumstances. So think about that, about where he is and what he's going through. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and the sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It's an interesting thing, I think, when you think about what maybe others have gone through in order to serve in the gospel, and especially someone like the Apostle Paul, as we're studying in our class, in our Sunday morning class, with Ricky Chapman and Doug Hopkins as our teachers, about out of the book of 1 Timothy. And we're seeing how Paul is instructing him about how he might live his life in a better fashion. Have you ever had one of those situations where if anything could go wrong, it does? Huh? Hello? Talking to you, crowd? Have you ever had that situation? You know, the day maybe starts in this direction, and it just keeps heading in the wrong direction. Or shall I say, it keeps going in places that you would wish it wouldn't, or that you hoped that it would not. I suppose that all of us at one time or another in our life find ourselves in that situation, or have a day like that, or when nothing really seems to go right. You may be facing those kind of challenges even today. I don't know. Whenever I stand before the crowd, I always try to take in consideration what may be happening in your own life. And I think sometimes when we come and everybody says, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm fine. And we're all lying to each other, because we're not really being fully truthful. It's because we don't really want to dump all of our problems or all the things that are bothering us or have us worrying about things on other people's shoulders. We try to manage that by ourselves. You may be facing a challenge today. If not, and you are not, you might not want to get too comfortable, because inevitably, that is life, isn't it, that problems exist. In fact, when you read in the New Testament, you're going to find that the writers of the New Testament that will tell you those things are coming. In fact, it even encourages us that when trials come our way or temptations, we ought to count it all what, brethren? Joy? Isn't that what it says? Yeah, when these things come our way, count them joy. Now, that's not always the easiest thing to do. I don't know what your challenge may be in life, whether it's your job, finances, maybe it's your health, maybe it's difficulty with kids or parents, friends. We could name all kinds of issues. Those are the kinds of things that I believe that we can handle by making a plan. That is, that we can do something about them. If we'll just face it and realize that we need to do something to change the direction that we're headed in. But some problems that we face are not that way. It's not that easy to make a plan. They're the kind of things that come our way over which we're powerless to do anything about. That's what the Apostle Paul was writing about here. Think about his situation for just a minute before we say any more. He's in prison. He's falsely accused. He's really being accused of something that's really not so. And he's being bound in prison and kept in prison. And you have to think that when a person is placed in captivity like this, that things are not the way you want it. How many of us will volunteer just to go to jail? None of us want to do that. None of us want to lose our freedom or to be able to, or not to be able to do what we want to do. Sometimes circumstances in our lives are that way and we are powerless in terms of how to handle them. They are beyond, I'm trying to say, our control. These circumstances, someone else is calling the shots. Someone else is in charge. And we're helpless to affect them. We just have to ride the storm out until it's over. And in some cases, continue into the storm with no apparent relief on the horizon. Though we can't always control the circumstances, brethren, we are never left without choices. You know, I've spent practically all of this past year, intermittently, maybe a few breaks at every time, but I kept bringing up this idea of our opportunity in Christ to be able to make choices. If you don't like where you are, figure it out. Make the changes you need to make so you don't have to be there anymore. You can do that. That's the power Christ gives us to be able to change where we are and to make recognition of what God can do. We're never without a choice about how I'm going to respond. And as a person in Christ, we don't have to be the kind of people who are wringing our hands in despair as though we can't do anything about it. With God on our side, we can face even adversity with confidence. I know that we may have a tendency here to say, you know, okay, pie in the sky. That's the lesson today. Please don't be too quick to write me off. Because there are people who face adversity with courage and with confidence. The Apostle Paul is one of the biblical ones, but I'm going a step further today. I want you to think about right in our midst. There are people around us that are suffering consequences or difficulties in their life who are doing their best to make it through. You may be able to be one of the people that helps them to conquer that. That verse 12, as it comes in the New American Standard, says, "Brethren, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Jim, this is the whole concept of this. Paul, being in prison, didn't keep him from doing what his work was. In fact, he said, the fact that I'm in prison has turned out to be a good thing. I don't know if I was put in jail, I could come to such a conclusion as that, as the Apostle Paul has done here. But he says this is a good thing because of my imprisonment. Some of the folks have more courage now to preach the gospel of Christ. He was looking at this thing and he was seeing something better. Now, I don't know what you're facing, but I want to encourage you to know that one of the things that you need to try to do, the very best that you can do, and that is look for the good. Look for the good in your situation. You know, anybody can sit down and say, woe is me. This is what's bad and what's happened to me. Here are the things that are wrong. Here are the things that are going the way I don't want them to go. It takes a person with some fortitude to start sitting down and saying, well, now, what's benefiting me? What is God helping me to see? What can I do to make my situation better? Paul was saying that in his case, this was going to help the preaching of the gospel. This was going to help his spiritual work. And Bobby got up in front of us today and said he wants to make his spiritual life a better spiritual life in 2019. Is there anybody here on his team? We probably all want to live, want to have a better spiritual life all the time. We're always looking for that. There's a lot of good things for us to think about to try to do, to help us do that. To look into the problem that you may be facing that maybe is out of your own control, that you don't even have a say-so in some of those circumstances. What are the possible benefits of me being in this situation? The good in the circumstance may not be immediately evident, but you can find it if you steadfastly are watching for it. I don't know how many of you read that book. Several years ago, this book was written by Corrie Ten Boom, I believe was her name. The Hiding Place. Maybe you read it way back, so on. But she told a story in there that stuck with me for a very long time. And it fits right here very, very well. You know, she and her sister were in the German concentration camps. And so she wrote her experience, and that's what that book was about. I'm not going to try to tell you all about that. But one day, she and her sister woke up and they were infected with lice. And after a few days of the misery of going through that situation with these lice and no way to take care of them, they complained to each other. And finally, one sister says to the other one, says, we should pray for the good in this. One sister looked at the other and said, what good can we find in having lice? She said, well, I don't know, but maybe God does. So they prayed about it. Now, they didn't get an immediate answer about that. They prayed about their situation, and eventually, when they were finally released and got out somewhere, and they had some of those reunion things with the other prisoners that were there, they spoke of that time when they had that. And another lady told them, did you know that the reason you two were never sexually molested by the guards was because you had lice? And she turned to her sister and said, "See, told you God knew." There was a good in the situation that they couldn't see. Now, I'm not saying to you that you're in that kind of situation. But if you're facing a challenge, why not do this? Why not pray for God to help show you the good that may come from such a challenge? What the benefit of that might be, so that you can be a better or a stronger Christian person. I was reading in the book of Exodus a couple of months ago. We were studying from there in a class we were teaching, and I came across this passage that described Israel's conquest of Canaan. You may recall this. You may have already thought this out. Apparently, there were some of those nations in Canaan that God did not allow the Israelites to conquer. And no matter what they did, they didn't drive them out. And it was a bad situation because it never allowed them to rest or completely lay down their arms. They were always having to be on guard. And over in Judges chapter 3 and at verse 1, we read this. "Now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them. And then after listing all of those nations that were spared, Joshua then says in verse 4, and they were for testing Israel to find out if they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers through Moses." There was a good in those reasons for them continually being tested. And that was that they would continue to follow the word of the Lord. You know, and I know from studying over in the Old Testament, that they had their difficulties maintaining that. God was trying to help them through the situation. Resolved to look for the good. Then I encourage you to resolve to look for the worst. If your problem seems impossible, then maybe you need to change your perspective. There are a few things that even the worst problems cannot do. Listen to these. They cannot separate you from the love of God. The problem cannot separate you from God and His love. It cannot separate you, in most cases, there might be some strange oddity, from God's family. God has placed you in His family for a reason, and those people are here to help you. It's always a strange thing to me that when people fall away, they seem to forget about the greatest benefit that Christ gives us, and that is the family of God, the church of the living God, to help us through life's problems. And we forget that. We drift away, and we don't have their encouragement, and we don't have their help. Paul will say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, the prospect of his imminent death, Paul, that is mentioned in that passage, and further on down in the book of Philippians there, if you read it, you can read it on. I told you I didn't want to have to read all of those. But study it and you'll find some interesting things. That Paul's death that's mentioned here was very real and he knew that. And though he was innocent of the charges, things could go against his freedom. He could lose his life. Yet he had made peace with that whole idea. And he had seen the worst that could happen to him, and he realized that that wouldn't be all bad. After 40 years of service in the United States Navy and a life filled with great accomplishments, Les Lewis was a shining example of this very thing I'm talking about. I watched him come through those doors back there and to his seat over where his son is now sitting, or a row behind him, but they were right there. On many a day that I know he didn't feel like being here, but he was here. He was here because he knew that his strength was in God. And the last thing he wanted to do would be to miss being with the family of God. And he talked about that often, didn't he, Lynn? Of all the things that hurt him the most was when he was so sick he couldn't be here. He hated that. So if he could be here, he was here. What a shining example of what it means to recognize there are a whole lot worse things sometimes than what we're afflicted with. We could all learn a great lesson from that. Well, learn to face the difficulties. The things that we might call the things that are worse for us. And then resolve to find an opportunity. That's what I want to leave you with today. Find an opportunity. I don't know what you know or if you know anything about the Chinese alphabet, and I'm not by any means any kind of an expert of it, but what I've come to understand some of it. It's a series of pictures, by the way. And the Chinese picture for crisis is actually a combination of two smaller pictures. One meaning danger, and the other one means opportunity. Opportunity. Here's the words of Philippians 1, 23, 4, and 5. I'm hard-pressed from both directions. I have the desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake, and convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Some years ago, John Walsh dropped off his 6-year-old son in a mall arcade. You know, back when we had those video arcades. The young boy's name was Adam. Some of you probably are remembering the story. He was abducted and murdered. As a result of that tragedy, the Adam Walsh Foundation was established to help others who experience the same kind of tragedy and to teach parents how to minimize the risk of their children becoming victims. John Walsh, who was the founder, of course, and the host of America's Most Wanted TV program, was able to turn a horrendous disaster into an opportunity. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't think that he wouldn't want his son back. But he took the death of his son and turned it into an opportunity to help bring peace to many, many, many people. And that foundation goes on to this very day, where they continue to help folks who lose family members. No one likes living through a crisis. I understand that. I'm not suggesting that we should cease trying to avoid the kinds of bad situations in our life. No matter what we do to avoid them, difficulties still come our way. Down in Australia, they have a saying. It is, rooster today, duster tomorrow. In Australia, they use a lot of feather dusters, okay? That's what they meant when they said duster tomorrow. You can be walking around, strutting around like the rooster today, but tomorrow you might be a feather duster. There was a person, a vacationer, who was watching with curiosity as a lumberman occasionally jabbed his sharp hook into a log that was coming down the river and separated it from the others that were floating down in the stream. And they asked him, what was he doing? He says, and the worker replied, he said, well, all of these logs may look alike to you, but these logs that are going by here, they've been down in the valley where they're always protected from the storms. Their grain is coarse. The ones that I've put a hook into and kept apart from the rest have come from the high place on the mountains. For the time they were small, they have been beaten by strong winds, and that toughens the trees and gives them a fine and beautiful grain. And we save them for all of the choice work. They're too good to be made into plain lumber. Our problems aren't punishments. They're opportunities to experience the power of God in our life, to be changed into something useful to Him and to fellow mankind. We can greet a bad situation with dread, disappointment, discouragement, or we can rise above it and learn to make the most of it. And that's what I'm suggesting you to do in 2019. That God would give you the presence of mind to be able to look for the good in your situation and be strong enough to face the challenges of it, the worst of it. And if you will busy yourself with looking for an opportunity to serve God and strengthen your spiritual life, see if God will not bring that about in your life for you. I urge you to do that. I wish you a happy new year. I wish you a profitable spiritual new year. Don't forget God. God is the key element in our life always. As I said to you earlier in the month, there's only one birthday Jesus ever cared about. It is your spiritual birthday that He cares about. And that is what you need to learn to celebrate. And if you haven't been born anew as the Scriptures teach, then you ought not to delay. And let this day, the last day of 2018, be your birthday. So you can start 2019 in Christ Jesus the Lord, so your life can be what God wants it to be. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.